words I would desire to make a few remarks from, as enabled you will find in the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, a part of the 39th verse, the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. They came and he said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt. He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt. One has had somewhat exercise concerning these words before us. After one got to rest last night, these words dropped into one's thoughts, and we hope we have ventured upon them, trusting how that God will lead us into the sweetness of them. Well, this was an answer to their inquiry as to where he dwelt. And therefore he said unto them, come and see. Well, we should be favored this day to behold where he dwelt, or where he does dwell. Then it will be for our help and comfort. And not to speak too much concerning their inquiry, we would endeavor to enter a little into that knowledge of where he dwells. They asked him, where dwellest thou? Well, we believe, first of all, he dwells in heaven above. For we read just now that he stretched out the heavens as a tent to dwell in. So we believe he dwells in heaven above. That is his dwelling place. And dwells there, that you and I might have the privilege to approach unto him as oft as we feel the need of help and comfort. We shall never weary him. He's ever at the right hand of the Father, that in whatever pathway we may be in, whatever trial or difficulty, we may come, though he knows it already, but we may come and lay our case before him. Really speaking, it's a wonderful favor to have a case. The flesh may not like the way, but to have a case, if thy heart is burdened with sin, thank God for it. There are thousands that have not this burden. But be thy heart burdened with sin, he dwelleth in heaven. Whereunto you may come with your burden. And he is such that he is able and willing to deliver you of that burden. but it's not for me to say how soon. You might have to carry it for days, weeks, months, maybe years. But one thing I know, while we may be short or long, according unto God's word, He is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto Him, unto God, by Him. Well, heaven is His dwelling place. It was His dwelling place, as you sang this morning, as this particular chapter begins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And so that He dwelt in heaven before all worlds, when He was the co-equal, co-eternal Son of God, as He Himself declared, I was as one brought up with Him. That's one of those doctrines that have been greatly questioned by many, but received by those unto whom it is revealed. We believe Him to be the co-equal, co-eternal Son of God, and that He dwelt with the Father in eternal light in heaven above. But He left His kingly glory that He might come and dwell upon earth, and that He might come and dwell among men. So we are favored to come and see where He dwelt among men here on earth. And though He was rejected, as He is today by many, we mustn't go away with the thought that things have changed, you know, in the day we live. The world has always been wicked from the beginning. Remember the flood, when the world was so wicked, there were only those few souls that were saved in the ark. And so it had been through all the generations unto this moment of time. But our Savior came and dwelt among men. What for? That He might be revealed as that Christ that came to save sinners, that came to seek out those that were given unto Him in the covenant of grace, to seek out and to save those that were lost. That word lost there doesn't mean those who are lost eternally, but these are that tribe, the lost tribe of the house of Israel, that are lost and are taught that they are lost, and feel it. Oh, what a mercy to know our lost and ruined state by nature, and then to I realize that he came here on earth to dwell among men and there to make his mighty wonders known. As he said, I came to seek and to save those that were lost. The whole need not the physician, but those that are sick. And thus those who have a religion and got no sicknesses in it, it's false. However much it might be polished and appear to go muster among men, but if there's no disease, no. If there is nothing of exercises in the soul, and no being tormented by the enemy of souls, well, I believe that such are only rambling still. Know not how God has separated in his word the righteous from the wicked, be it in religion or in the religious world or the profane world. There is but one nation that shall be saved, that is the righteous nation that keepeth the truth, the spiritual Israel, whom God chose in eternity past, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, I know that searching, well, when I speak it, it searches my soul. I don't speak things, my friends, before others that don't search me so. It's easy to do those things which might proceed from our hearts, that is, our wicked hearts, and not speak the truth, though it be separated. Well, then he dwelt in on this earth and came for that express purpose, that he might become a savior of sinners. Well, as he dwelt here on earth, how he came unto those that needed him. He came unto that poor man at the pool, lay there 38 years, could no wise lift up himself. But in Christ, there is an everlasting cleansing. He is that sacred fountain whereunto a sinner may come, who had been taught his sinnership, burdened with guilt and sorrow, feeling the festering sores of sin, while saying it may be my sore ran in the night, and I refuse to be comforted. The sore ever ran in the night, sinner. And when it's been a night season with you in your experience, saw as well. Oh, how this sometimes is the case in the night seasons of our souls. Sin seems to lay a greater burden upon us. It is then we need as a fountain. We need to see how he came here and dwelt on this earth for a season, that he might obtain for us an eternal and everlasting salvation. And then he dwelt on this earth to search out one in the temple that had a withered arm. Did it come here any of you this morning with a withered arm? That is, it's your arm, the arm of your hand of your faith. Your arm is so withered that you cannot stretch it forth. Well, he came on this earth, dwelt upon this earth, that he might come unto such. He said unto him, stretch forth thine arm. May you and I be able to stretch forth the withered arm of our faith and lay hold of those things that seem an impossibility. One here seems an impossibility that you will be saved. Or don't you listen to the whisperings of Satan. He'll never encourage you to come to Christ. He'll always endeavor to seek you lower. By you being able to press through the crowds and the clouds, and that little faith that you seem to have may be such in God's hand that should bring forth ultimately thy deliverance. May I say here, if there's one here thus troubled, go be to an overcast down, for he will rise up afraid to take. Try and remember this one thing, that he had an appointed time to favor Zion and also to favor you and I. I know we're in a hurry. I remember when I was in my youth, I was in a hurry. I wanted deliverance from sin. I'll tell you why I didn't get it. As I thought, I was trying to hold the world in one hand, you know, and God in the other. Can't. Oh, those many times we were trying to serve mammon when God says you cannot serve God and mammon. What a wonderful mercy if he cleaned us out of it. May I say that here very kindly to any who prove my words to be true, God will clean you out of every false way. And he'll bring things to pass that will seem to though it's going to destroy you to accomplish it. But his way is right. Yea, he is just in all his dealings toward us. Therefore, he will destroy the works of Satan that he these old works might be exalted in our hearts. He said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt. He dwells also then in, he dwells in heaven above, and he dwelt here on earth. And also he dwells in the hearts of his people. Well, you might say, mine is the unwilling dwelling, an unworthy dwelling also. Well, that's a good point. You had a religion, you thought you were so holy and so good that it was a perfect dwelling for Christ. There's no evidence that you know anything about his dwelling place. He comes and dwells with the ignorant. He comes and dwells with sinners. He comes and dwells with those that have no strength. He comes and dwells with those that are afar off. He dwells with those that have no helper. He comes and dwells with those that are unknown and known. And there'll be times when you and I will feel to be alone. I might say that here, that it'll be more profitable to you and I when we're alone oftentimes. I'm speaking about soul's experience, that we may feel to have many helpers within. God will prove to us that we have no other resting place, no other comforter, no other helper. Though he does cause help and comfort to come through others, when it is his purpose thus to do it, but he's determined to have us worship him and him only. And when he accomplishes for us those things he has designed, then he gets to himself all the praise. There's no wretched idol in our hearts to admire. But we are favored to behold him as he dwells within. Not dwell within the wicked heart, I don't mean, or the old man of sin, but comes and dwells in the new man of grace, that he looks upon from time to time as being perfect in him. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. The end of that man is peace. Well, there be a beholding that upright man, the new man of grace. The end of that man alone is peace. Now there be a beholding the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom is perfectness alone. And his people who stand in him being perfect, there will be holding that perfect word. So there'll be a coming and seeing the place where he dwells. He dwells in their hearts. And there, when he dwells in their hearts, there'll sure to be opposition from the enemy. you heard me quote it before, but I quote it here again this morning, what Dear Heart says. I often think of it. And if you have this, you should be favored. When Christ takes possession and proclaims himself King, that's dwelling in the heart. And the world, which in hell, its forces will be. Or will there be wanting of gunshot from hell? The old prince of darkness will perish and will. I tell you what, sinner, if Christ is dwelling in your heart, you know what it is to be harassed and tormented by Satan. Because he hates the castle of the human heart where God dwells. You must expect it. And I feel here that when we speak these things, it's not to discourage but to comfort. Somebody said it doesn't sound very good comfort, but it is comfort, you know. Because if you have this, you have what the world know not of. You have what the professor of religion know not of. You have opposition. I believe that more and more because the Word of God is so full of it. From the beginning of Genesis to Revelation, all God's people have had to walk the pathway, in some measure, that our dear Savior walked, opposition. And if you are receiving opposition from Satan and from the professor of religion, may I say this, rejoice. Though the flesh doesn't like the way, and though you may sometimes wonder if the way is right, but be of good courage. May I say this, God will prove to you at length that the way is leading is right, because we are proved that all our pathway, more or less, have been opposite to the flesh. He dwells in the heart. Oh, what a mercy if he dwells in our hearts. There'll be times here too, I wish you. We shall fear that he has departed. That isn't so, you know. Once he takes possession, he never departs. Now, he reigns there as king, but to our experience and our feelings, he departs. I mean this. We feel that he has withdrawn from us. Well, may I say this, but I can try and explain what I mean. He doesn't withdraw. He withdraws his felt presence. He withdraws the comforts. He withdraws those helps, by the way, for a season. Yes. Oh, how as some of it mourn the hidings of his face. I'll tell you what it'll do for you. When you feel the hidings of his face, you won't always be able to lay your head down on the pillow and go to sleep in a moment. Don't misunderstand me here. But you'll find there's time when you come there and you'll say, well, I can't sleep. Of course you can't, because you want his presence. You want him to come once more. And sometimes he comes. And in those places, as he dwells within, he comes and reveals himself And he comes in that still small voice. You know that still small voice. And they got a noise, you know. He's spelled in the soul. And he comes where you may have gone, perhaps those times in hardness of heart, indifference, full of rebellion it may be, grumbling about everything all day long. Nothing seems to be right, perhaps. This is wrong, that is wrong. What about it? Search your own hearts and see. Blessings in our hands, you know. And then to come to that place where he comes over it all, and something for heart, because he dwells within. And softens our heart and causes us to come into a path of true repentance. Crying it unto him to forgive us our sin, the sin of the day. I might say on that particular point, it's for each to search your own hearts, see whether these things be true or not, concerning our daily life here on earth. How full are our days of sin, indeed, before him. Sure, each of us here this morning need a washing. Where he dwells in their hearts. And he is that one alone who can cleanse us from all our sins. Cleanse us from heart sins, lip sins, and all those sins that are in our hearts by nature, or we have to prove that we cannot, by any method of our own, cease from sin. Once in my grief and good, Lord, help me. Cause I cannot cease from sin. I am sure that if Christ dwelt within us, we should desire, if it were possible, to live as holy as he holy. Well, I would go on through the remainder of my short life that's allotted to me now. I'd go without one more sin. I would move on day by day without one more sinful thought. But you know, we shall find that this old tabernacle of ours will be a burden to us at the end. But if he dwells within, we are assured of this one thing. That should be well, because he dwells within. Who can harm us, or what can harm us? Even the few remaining days in the wilderness, and our young friends here too, by you being able to look unto him daily, for life is a very short span. I know that some with our dear young friends plaster them up, do many things to try and do something for them, but we must be faithful. We cry to God for them on their behalf. We do say unto them, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but these they are they that testify of me. Lend a deaf ear to a low ear, or low there is Christ. You won't find him anywhere only in this world, and where he dwells, in Zion here below. He dwells in Zion. He dwells among his people. He doesn't dwell in the assemblies of the wicked. He doesn't dwell in that awful system of religion that is so creeping in today in this hour, beloved man. Oh no. He dwells in Zion as his dwelling place. And he dwells in Zion above. So he dwells in Zion below. That is to say, among his people, among the church militant, and also he dwells in the church triumphant, not a divided church. It's that one church, and he is the church's one foundation. There is that hymn, isn't there? The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ their Lord. It's not the church, the building. The church of Christ, that's the one foundation of Christ. Oh, what a verse it is to see these things in their right focus, isn't it? And they came and saw where he dwelt. Well, if you and I have had some little insight into those places where he dwells, may I say, also again here, to our dear young friends, they may be favored to hold fast to those things they hear, though they may perhaps sometimes see rather severe. May they be favored to search the scriptures and see if these things be so. And may God grant them to, they may cleave, like dear Ruth did, when Boaz said unto her, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not a glean in the other field, but abide here, fast by my maidens." And going to glean in another field, you know, it means in those fields where there are not the showers of blessing coming down upon it, but on the field of our heavenly Boaz, the showers of blessing come down upon that. That is the field of the gospel, the true gospel, the gospel as it is revealed in the world, the wonderful mercy to desire to abide in these things, and then to be favored also to glean a few handfuls of purpose, and then not only to glean it, to be able to go home and beat out that thou hast gleaned. Well, you're not always favored us. There's a mercy to be able to beat out that we've gleaned, and then to be able to partake of it, the pure word of God, the food that he giveth to his people. So then, to be able to come and behold where he dwells, where he dwells in heaven above, and also he'll dwell in heaven throughout eternity. Oh, what a mercy! We have a hope. The day will come which we shall dwell with him in eternity. Some of us have many fears of it at times when the way is rough, and things seem to be going against us, and the enemy roaring at us. But you know, if he dwells within us, and also dwells in heaven above, in eternity, eternity to come, that surely there are those thoughts sometimes of that day when we shall arrive safely beyond all these things here below. Well, my friends, may the Lord grant that we may find him, that he dwells in our hearts, that he dwells in our daily lives, and that he will dwell with us forever. Oh, one thing have I desired of the Lord, said one, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, it's a desire to dwell in his house here, but there is a desire to dwell in his house above. That house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, where I dwell, where I shall be forever, and that you may be also. Oh, what a dwelling place, Zion above, where there's no more of these things to battle against here below. Well, may I say this here, a day will soon come with all of us, even a child just born. What is it? What is the fleeting years, my friend? From the time of birth, the time of our end, nothing is it. Time, what an empty vapor it is, and days, how swift they are. How they float by. May I just say here for a moment, when I was looking at that clock sitting down here just now, and I saw that minute hand going round, every minute nearer to eternity, I thought. How stands the case with us? Does he dwell in our hearts? Does he dwell with us day by day? Well, we all know the answer to that. But if there's any here, do not fear it. Don't be discouraged. As I already stated this morning, he has an appointed time to be gracious. But may I say this, may you be favored to go before him in prayer. I don't mean so much in the action of it, but that thy heart might cry unto him, and thy thoughts of him, Lord, that he will come and speak peace to thy soul. Well, may God grant it. Amen. interest and abide with us, both now and forevermore.